Welcome back, Draft Geeks. This is the 18th episode of the NFL Draft Geek Podcast. Once again, I am Brian Johannes, and I am joined by Kyle Howe. We've been spending the last several episodes breaking down the different divisions, how each team in the division did on the 2015 draft. We are on our final one, the NFC West. Some have said this is the best division by far in the NFL. You know, the Seahawks and the 49ers can battle them out, and you have teams like Arizona make the playoffs last year. So, you know, are they going to continue their ways, or, you know, are other teams catching up to them? So, Kyle, how are you this mid-afternoon?
Pretty tired, but can't wait to get talking about the NFC West.
All right, let's go right into the Arizona Cardinals. Seven picks for the Cardinals. First round, they took offensive tackle DJ Humphreys from Florida. Second round, they took Missouri defensive end Marcus Golden. Third round, they took David Johnson, a running back from Northern Iowa. Fourth round, they took Rodney Gunner, a defensive tackle from Delaware State. In the fifth round, they took Shaq Riddick, a defensive end from West Virginia. In the fifth round, they took J.J. Nelson, a speedy wide receiver from UAB. And then in the seventh round, they took tight end Gerald Christensen from Louisville. You know, I know we talked about DJ Humphreys a little in our first round preview. Give us a quick refresher on what you thought of that pick.
I like the pick. You know, their offensive line's always been a problem in Arizona. I think now this gives them the time to throw the ball deep to their receivers. Keeps Carson Palmer, you know, he just tore his ACL again, and he's not mobile in the slightest. So, you know, you have to keep a good offensive line in front of him in order for him to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, I like Humphreys a lot. He was my number one rated offensive tackle. I knew he wasn't going to be the first one taken. I felt, you know, his current skill set plus his potential made him the number one guy. Yeah, he'll be the right tackle. They want to go seven-step drops, so you practically need two left tackle type tight end or tackles for them. I think you know, it wasn't very sexy, but it was pretty effective. What'd you think of their second round pick of Marcus Golden? I know, it's not uncommon for some people to say they liked him better than Shane Ray. I know coming into this past college football season, I had Golden ahead of Ray. I still think having him in the second round was a little too high.
Yeah, I definitely think it was too high for him. You know, he's got a great motor, relentless, but he's a limited athlete, and it's kind of like Haley Kikaha that we talked about previously was drafted by the Saints. You know, Golden didn't have the two torn ACLs, so he has that in his favor. A little bit better athlete, but, you know, you can't just have a motor in order to be a successful pass rusher. You have to have the athleticism and the strength to be able to do so, and I don't see that in Marcus Golden. I think he can be a rotational guy, but I don't think he's ever going to be a starter.
Yeah, the thing I wonder about this pick, you know, you had him and Kikaha and Orchard. I don't know if I had those three guys kind of got lumped together, you know, maybe Eli Harold there too, as the next tier of edge pass rushers behind your top guys. I just wonder with him, you know, did Kikaha go off and then Orchard went off and Arizona's like, well, gosh, we like Golden and he's not going to be around too much longer. Let's just take him here at the end of the second round.
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't have any of those guys ranked in that, not just that order, but in that tier, except for Eli Harold. I had him as my eighth overall guy in top of the third round grade, so I thought that I didn't really see that.
Yeah. Third round pick of David Johnson, he's a guy that I like. Such a tremendous receiver for a running back. I just didn't see him as a third-round pick. What did you think of him going there?
You know, he was it was a little bit rich. I mean, it was at the bottom of the third round, so it wasn't awful value. I probably thought he should have gone in the maybe top of the fourth. You know, fourth round range, not quite the bottom of the fourth, but I didn't think it was awful value. But the thing I can't make sense of is he's a great receiver, does extremely well outside the tackles, but they have that in Andre Ellington. And to me, they need a guy that could go between the tackles and, you know, just a chain mover, essentially. That's not David Johnson at all.
Yeah, that's the other thing you looked at. You know, they kept on talking they wanted this bigger back. Well, yeah, he's a bigger back, but he doesn't run like a bigger back. You know, I would have thought a guy like Mike Davis or David Cobb, even Jay Ajayi. I know Jay Ajayi's got the knee issues, but you look at a team like the Cardinals, they're a team that's kind of built to win now. You know, so you get a guy like Jay Ajayi, you put him next to Andre Ellington, they're going to complement each other pretty well.
Yep.
I don't dislike David Johnson, but he was the 7th running back off the board. I would have thought a couple other guys would have gone ahead of him. So,
yeah.
4th round, they took Rodney Gunner, defensive end from Delaware State. What did you make of him?
I hadn't even heard of the guy before the draft, and I think it's kind of funny. I'm pretty sure this is the same guy that said he was going to be the next J.J. Watt or something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, 6'4", 298, so he's going to be he's going to be a defensive end for them. He's got good size, strength. He's more of a run defender. Got some quickness and upside, but he's incredibly raw, and he's coming from Delaware State, which makes it even harder to make that transition. So, I mean, you would have thought in the 4th round you could have got maybe somebody a little bit different. I mean, I would have took Darius Filon ahead of him. Guys like Marcus Hardison went after him. I don't love this pick at all, especially going in the 4th round.
No, I don't love the pick either.
I mean, he was, 116. He probably was even a top 200 player for me.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't even hear the kid until the Cardinals drafted him.
In the 5th round, kind of an interesting pick. Shaq Riddick, a defensive end from West Virginia. I say it's an interesting pick. I think 5th round was a good value for Riddick. I'm just curious of where he's going to play for Arizona. You know, he was a guy that at West, you know, he came from, was it William and Mary he came from, or was it,
he came from FCS Gardner-Webb.
Gardner-Webb. So he was at Gardner-Webb, put up a bunch of sacks, decided to move up in competition. He transferred to West Virginia for a year. And then I didn't think they utilized him properly. For whatever reason, West Virginia is infatuated with their 3-3-5 defense. And so they played him as like a 3 technique. And he's not great at the point of attack. And he kind of got swallowed up and was ineffective. The times that they did move him out to the 7 or even a 5 and he worked one-on-one with tackles, he was a lot more explosive. So you wonder, are they going to bulk him up and try to play him at a 5 technique? I know they got Calais Campbell opposite, who's another 6'7", 6'8 guy. But Riddick's only 240 pounds. You know, more thin, rail thin. Maybe they use him as an outside linebacker. But I don't know if I like him out in space.
See, I liked Riddick a lot. He was extremely underutilized in college at West Virginia. I don't know what they were thinking when they put him at a 3 technique. And, you know, I even saw him he played nose. It was awful. He didn't belong anywhere. along those lines, but I think he has the makings to, or he has the makeup to be a good outside linebacker, and that's where I put him. And assuming the Cardinals can do that, I think he's projects better in the future than their second round pick Marcus Golden.
Yeah, their next fifth round pick JJ Nelson got a lot of people's attention with the 40 time at the combine. He's probably more or less a special teams return guy. And I know they got they probably don't want Patrick Peterson returning too many punts. Kind of save him. I don't think Nelson's going to be doing pretty much anything other than that.
No, I mean, he can maybe offer a little bit in terms of home run ability, but
they got that John Brown though too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's pretty much just a return man.
Yeah, and then Gerald Christensen's a guy. I think he, you know, maybe provides some depth. They lost Rob Hausler, in free agency. I think Christensen just is maybe that rotational third tight end on the roster.
And John Carlson also retired yesterday. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's gonna come in. He's gonna make the roster as long as he shows up with the need that the Cardinals have at tight end.
Yeah. What'd you think of their overall draft?
Yeah, it was pretty lackluster. Marcus Golden, bad pick. David Johnson, you know, doesn't really fit what they need. Gunter was a bad pick. I like Shaq Riddick, and I like DJ Humphries. So
yeah,
it was pretty bad.
Yeah, this is my second worst draft of the entire league, I thought. I like Humphries, and he's going to be solid for them. I didn't like the Golden pick. I didn't like Johnson pick. I didn't like the Gunner pick. I didn't like, Nelson was okay. Riddick, I like him. I just, I'm not sure where he fits. I think he would have been better off going to a 4-3 team. I really didn't like what they did. Let's move on to the 49ers. They had 10 picks in this draft. This is kind of the strong suit. Trent Baalke really takes pride in having multiple picks moving around. In the first round, they took Eric Armstead, defensive end from Oregon. Second round, they took Jaquiski Tartt, safety from Sanford. Third round, they took Eli Harold, outside linebacker for Virginia. Fourth round, they took Blake Bell, a tight end from Oklahoma. Also in the fourth round, they took Mike Davis, a running back from South Carolina, and DeAndre Smelter, a wide receiver from Georgia Tech. Fifth round, they took a punter from Clemson, Bradley Pinion. Sixth round, they took Ian Silberman, a guard from Boston College. And then in the seventh round, they took Trent Brown, a guard from Florida, and Rory Anderson, a tight end from South Carolina. I know you are a big Eric Armstead fan. Anything more than what we already talked about on him?
No, I love him.
Yeah, he seems like he'd be a good fit. Mangini's going to be in there, so they're going to run a different 3-4 than what they had been running with Fangio. I think Armstead's going to fit well within a 2-gap, with still being that able to penetrate. I think he's going to be a good pick for him. All right, let's look at Jaquiski Tartt. I mean, I like Tartt. I know I talked about him when you, me, and Nolan did our prospect preview. I don't know if I like him going. I don't know if I like them taking him in the second round. I know he'll kind of he's more of a strong safety. He likes to hit, but they seem pretty set at safety with Eric Reed and Antoine Bethea. The 49ers seem to always take, they want to take value, and they end up taking these guys that aren't going to play for a couple years. For a team that's looking to get back to the playoff contention, I don't know if I like this second round pick.
Yeah, I mean, they appear set at safety from the outside. And Tartt, I mean, it's a little rich for my blood, that's for sure. I think he has an awful lot of talent. He's a really punishing tackler. We talked about how he ran step for step with Sammy Coates against Auburn, which just speaks volumes about his athleticism at 225 pounds. And I almost wonder if this is something that kind of is that they're saying toward about Bethea and where he's at in his career. He is older. And I think Jimmy Ward, you know, I think you're probably going to see him play a lot of corner this year. So,
yeah,
Eric, you're going to see a lot of three safety sets from the 49ers, especially with their lack of linebackers.
And yeah, he probably fits into a dime linebacker role.
Yeah, you know, Eric Reed, I think, even played out of he played up close to the line a little bit. He's a good tackler, a big guy. I don't know. I mean, I've only seen one game of Tart. That's all that was available. Maybe I've seen two, but yeah, it was high for him. But I think they have a fit for him in their defense.
Yeah. Moving on to the third round, kind of fits with that too. They took Eli Harold from Virginia. You know, outside linebacker pass rusher isn't a big area in need. They got Alden Smith. They've got Aaron Lynch, Corey Lemonois, Ahmed Black. So, I mean, it's not a big, huge need there. But Alden Smith, you never know what he's going to do.
And actually, the same can be said for Aaron Lynch as well.
You stole my thunder there.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Another guy, you know, Ahmed Black's, you know, hasn't been the most happy with his current role lately. I could see him being cut, you know, as a camp casualty. Harold probably fits that same type of role that Black had. You know, more of a power outside linebacker.
Wait, are you referring to Ahmad Brooks?
Yes, what did I say?
Ahmad Black.
Who the heck is Ahmad Black?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, Ahmad Brooks. That's what I'm, that's who I meant. I apologize. He kind of fits that type of player, I think. A similar style.
Yeah, and, you know, also I heard today that Ahmad Brooks may be getting into some trouble. It was reported by TMZ Sports. I don't know the extent of it, but it had to do something with a girl. Not exactly sure, but it was reported by TMZ Sports. So I guess that's something to also keep an eye on. But yeah, like you said, they appear set at outside linebacker, but then you know you break it down and one off the field incident from just one of their. Questionable characters on that team, and they have no pass rusher. So, and Harold is a guy that I think they can work with and develop, and he has all the tools. It's just he's pretty raw. So, should be interesting to see what happens with him.
Do you think he could play some inside linebacker in their 3-4?
No, but I don't think so. I think, if there was a candidate on that roster to do so, I think it would probably be Ahmad Brooks.
You don't mean Ahmad Black?
Yeah. Sorry.
No. Moving on, looking at their fourth round picks, you know, the more I look at this, I'm not a big fan of their draft. It seemed like I mentioned, they're a team that's looking to get back into that Super Bowl contention. It seemed like they took a lot of depth guys, or guys that are going to replace people in the future. You know, you had Armstead who might step in, but, you know, they've got Justin Smith who still hasn't quite retired and Darnell Dockett. Tart's going to fill in eventually for Bethea. Harold's going to be that guy that eventually takes over for Brooks or when someone messes up. And then you got Blake Bell who's going to back up Vernon Davis. Mike Davis, who's going to back up Carlos Hyde, and DeAndre Smelter, who's a developmental wide receiver. I mean, for a team that wanted to get some impact players, it seems like they're always drafting for 3 years down the road.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. And, you know, I wonder how much of this, you know, we're trying to get back into the Super Bowl talk is just that and being talk and, you know, switching coaching staffs. I gotta imagine there's a few guys that the new coaches just aren't really content with and want on their team and find them to be starting caliber. So you know, this was kind of the move that they went out and got their got their own players, and or maybe Balke got his own players without Harbaugh's influence for the first time. So we'll see what happens. It's not an incredibly great draft. I think they did get some decent value. I like Armstead a lot. Harold, I think, was good value. Blake Bell, no idea what that was about. But I like DeAndre Smelter and Mike Davis a lot. So we'll see how that turns out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like Mike Davis a lot. I guess I look at their draft and I thought, you know, they could have gone with a couple more impact guys. I know in previous drafts, they had all these picks and they got such a deep roster that you would think they'd try and move around and get some impact guys. And they always just drafted guys like redshirt guys like Tank Carradine and Brandon Thomas and Marcus Lattimore. And, you know, you got to wonder a lot of the they haven't really hit big with a lot of the bulky type players.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, though, if this is the year that those bulky guys that were redshirted do come to play. So I guess we'll see what happens.
All right. What'd you think? I was kind of meh on their draft. What did you think?
It wasn't awful. You know, I was expecting it to be pretty bad just because of how the 49ers have been. They had some guys I really liked, though, for their picks. You know, I mentioned Armstead, Harold, Davis. So we'll see. But I liked it. I didn't love it.
All right. Well, let's move on to the Seattle Seahawks. They were one play away from being back-to-back champions. John Schneider and Pete Carroll have gotten a lot of praise for their drafts and building this roster. They had 8 picks in this draft. Second round was their first pick. They got Frank Clark, defensive end from Michigan. Third round, they got Tyler Lockett, a wide receiver from Kansas State. Fourth round, they got Terry Poole, an offensive tackle from San Diego State. Fourth, they got Mark Lewinsky, a guard from West Virginia. Fifth round, they got Ty Smith, the cornerback from Towson. Sixth round, they got Obum Gwacham, a defensive end from Oregon State. Kirsten Sokol, in the sixth round, a defensive end from Buffalo. And then in the seventh round, they got Ryan Smith Murphy, a safety from Oregon State. You're a Michigan man, maybe not University of Michigan. What was your take of Frank Clark in the second round, and where do you think he fits with this team?
I think it was the dumbest pick of the entire draft. And, you know, he's talented, whatever. He's not that talented. And then when you factor in, you know, there's been reports coming out about how, you know, the Seahawks claimed, oh, we did our investigation with the whole thing and this, that, and everything else. Somebody had asked the hotel clerk who was working that night if she was ever contacted by the Seahawks, and she said no, and said Frank Clark absolutely just beat the crap out of his girlfriend. And in today's NFL, this is the last player I want to draft. And from what I understood, most teams had him off their draft boards, and he wasn't even expected to get drafted.
What type of – here's my thing. From all indications I had, he wasn't going to be drafted, so I didn't even watch him. I didn't figure it was worth my time. What type of player is he even?
I haven't seen a whole lot of him, and you know it's been a little while. I didn't even bother to watch him this year, but he's pretty explosive. He has good technique. I guess he might be. I don't know of a good comparison. You know, from the vague amount I remember, he might be a little bit like a Melvin Ingram, kind of explosive and compact and powerful, but that's all I can remember.
Yeah. I definitely didn't like that pick, and it seems like the only people they really interviewed on him was him. So I think they're starting to take a lot of heat about that pick. Third round, they took a wide receiver from Tyler Lockett. You know, I like this pick. I'm a big Lockett fan. He's more quick than fast. One of the things that they lacked was their receivers were solid, but they seemed to struggle to win it against man coverage. You know, they went out and got Jimmy Graham. You could probably count that as their first round pick. Lockett's a guy I think is gonna give them somebody that can win on against man coverage, and it doesn't force Russell Wilson to scramble and to get a receiver open.
Yeah, I like Tyler Lockett a lot. I thought he was kind of like a poor man's Brandon Cooks. You know, he can, for being smaller, he can go up and get the ball, runs great routes, really good hands. I think he's a great addition to this offense, and he could even be that Golden Tate type of guy that the Seahawks had in their offense, and I think really made their offense, just somebody that can catch the ball, make defenders miss. I think he's a great pick.
Yeah. Moving on to their their 2 fourth-round picks. They took the 2 offensive linemen. I didn't think either of these two guys was worth mid-round picks. I'm kind of disappointed. I know they like their zone blocking scheme guys. They took Justin Britt in the 2nd round last year, and he developed into a good run blocker for them. I didn't really care for what they did in the 4th round.
Yeah, I don't like either of these guys.
In the 5th round they took Ty Smith, cornerback from Townsend. Seems to fit their scheme, fit their style. Probably a developmental guy. They're going to go with Jeremy Lane. They're going to go with Kerry Williams, opposite of Sherman. Kind of an interesting pick is their 6th-round pick from Oregon State. Guachum was a wide receiver originally, and they moved him to defensive end, and he kind of was a kind of a specialty pass rusher. I could really see him being a guy that could flourish in a year or two as one of their Leos, a guy to kind of back up Cliff Avril.
I love Guachum. I thought this was a phenomenal pick. I had him ranked ahead of a lot of guys who went before him. Definitely going to need some time to develop. And, you know, you look at just his raw athleticism he's a prototypical highway speed athlete. You know, he's just really explosive off the ball. Everything that he has wrong with him is coachable. Just his hand usage, he needs to get a little bit stronger. He just needs to improve his leverage. All of that is very coachable. I think he's going to make a great, very good pro one day.
What was your overall take on the Seahawks draft?
It was pathetic. It was really bad. There was so much talk of how they had all these picks going in, and that they were going to be able to, you know, move up and take somebody, this, that, and everything else. And they dropped the ball. They drafted Frank Clark, in the 2nd round. So many people have to be sick about that pick and what happened. And, I like Tyler Lockett as a pick. Love that selection. And then Guachum, I love. Other than that, I thought this draft was trash.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I like those 2 picks, but this was by far, this was my worst draft in the NFL. Schneider gets all this love, and I'm a huge Pete Carroll fan. You know, I started to think, Snyder's getting a lot of the love that maybe Scott McLaughlin, the Washington general manager, should have gotten. You know, he was with Snyder and them when Sherman and all those guys were 5th-round picks that they got, and he's gone now. And their last couple of drafts really haven't panned out as much as the previous ones. So you gotta wonder, is Snyder all he's cracked up to be?
Yeah, and I've definitely considered that with, especially after this previous weekend.
Yeah. So, and it's too bad because I'm a really big Pete Carroll fan. So, you gotta wonder, are they starting to kind of slowly go down, not being able to replenish their talent pool?
Yep.
All right, final team that we're going to talk about. This is the 32nd team that we've covered. The St. Louis Rams, they had 8 picks in this draft. First pick, they took Todd Gurley, running back out of Georgia. Second round, they took Rob Havenstein, an offensive tackle from Wisconsin. In the third round, they took Jamon Brown, a guard from Louisville. Also in the third round, they took Sean Mannion, a quarterback from Oregon State. Fourth round, they took Andrew Donnell, an offensive tackle from Iowa. In the sixth round, they had two picks. They took Bud Sasser, a wide receiver from Missouri, and Cody Wickham, a guard from Fresno State. And then in the seventh round, they took inside linebacker Bryce Hager from Baylor, and then Martin Effetti, a defensive end from Memphis. I know we both are big Todd Gurley fans. Why don't you refresh the listeners on what you thought of the Rams taking him here?
I thought it was a great selection, and you know, they went out and they drafted Greg Robinson last year, kind of made a commitment to running the football. They ran the ball pretty well last year with Trey Mason, Zach Stacy, but you know, anytime you can add Todd Gurley, that's just an immediate boost to your run game. I think he comes in, he's top five running back as long as his ACL is healthy.
Yeah, you can clearly see what the Rams did in this draft. You know, they've got an elite defense. You know, they're establishing that desire to be a power running team. You know, Gurley's going to help. You know, I heard someone say, oh, I can't believe they took Gurley because they got Trey Mason. Well, I like Trey Mason, but he's not an every down back, and he's not a, you know, elite back, whereas Gurley has the potential to be an Adrian Peterson type back, in my opinion.
Exactly.
You know, looking at Havenstein and Brown, Havenstein's going to be their starting right tackle next year, and Brown's probably going to be their starting right guard. Two physical maulers. Havenstein's a guy I really liked. I didn't get to break him down as much